Yassine, how you doing?
Great. I mean, all right, let's start this
Loaded
one.
question.
Yeah. So, I went to France. It was quite fun. Like I told you, I got to kind of zoom out for a while. Usually I have this thing when I'm in the present, I'm having all these conversations in my head. And in this second, there was my uncle with me. So I was like, kind of, it brought like he hadn't been to with us for 5 years in like Switzerland. So I was like, oh, I remember when I was younger and all. And it's kind of like my younger self took over and he was like, you're not going to think today. And I didn't really think that much. I mean, I was quote tweeting and stuff. And my father was like, bro, you need to have a bit of a balance. And I was like, yeah, of course. But the thing is, I noticed that I struggle a lot sometimes with this, when you're like, am I doing it wrong? The balance thing, am I doing it right? Am I doing it correctly? Because sometimes you're like, I need to do this, right? I need to do this task. I need to focus on the quote tweets. I need to focus on the DMs for myself and all this. And then your family's like, oh, bro, you're not with us or you're not here. And then you're like, God, I hope I'm not wasting time, but gonna regret this later on where I'm like, oh, I should have been present in this moment, or I should have focused with them and worked. But at the same time, I didn't do as much work as I usually do. Like I just did the priorities. And I was talking with one of my friends and he was like, you need to put barriers and tell your family and things like that. And I was like, man, I regret it because now I had all this fun, but I didn't work as much as I could have. And so there's this like kind of clash between, am I having too much fun or am I doing too much work? Or yeah. And I just wanted to get your thoughts on that because I'm sure you struggle with that. Now that you're a parent, it's probably a big struggle.
For sure. I think first off, too, is a lot of times we don't give ourselves enough grace. Because the thing is, there's always going to be stuff to do. There's not always going to be time.
Yeah.
And it's remembering that our most expensive, like our most, the biggest riches we have is our time. Because I mean, no amount of money is going to get you more time unless obviously you're buying a skill or like an
Yeah.
opportunity to learn something faster. But the thing is, a lot of times we, and too, when we get too far into our head, because it sounds like you're aware of it. And the first step is awareness. And one thing that I've been learning in my NLP practice, and I've mentioned it to you before, but it's that idea of anchoring. And another layer of that would be when you're making time to meditate, which obviously isn't talked about enough, I think. But the beauty of meditation, real meditation, is taking time and sitting with our thoughts,
Yeah.
not being consumed by them, but watching them go by. And if you see it visually, it's really cool. Like if you're closing your eyes, you've got some meditative music on, and you're literally watching a thought, and then you're watching it go by, and then you're watching another one. And by doing so, you develop that awareness of when you are in the present. So say you are with your family or your uncle or your friends, and you find yourself wanting to be somewhere else, you're able to catch it sooner. And it's all about catching it sooner. And obviously regret's an awful feeling. But the key there is to not regret the moments you didn't take, but to be grateful for the moments you do take. And we get so caught up in this idea of right and wrong. Like obviously morally, like killing someone is wrong and you shouldn't do that. Or, the list could go on and on. And I'm sure if you found loopholes, you would find reasons to do that. But I mean in the sense of if you're in a moment with your family, opposed to you being in a space of working, neither is right or wrong. You're in the moment. And if you choose to be more present in the moment, I think that would be more important than the idea of wishing you would have did it differently. And give the example. Okay, so say a lot of times on Fridays is family fun day. So like I'm spending my time with my family. Now I could sit there and be with my family, but my head be somewhere else. Like I could be making tweets. I could be writing content. But if I'm doing that, then I'm not truly present. So both things, and it kind of goes back to when we put on the different hats for the different, you've heard me use that analogy before too. But when you're chasing two rabbits, you get neither. So if I'm in the middle of family time, but also trying to chase down a potential client or make a potential post, I'm going to make a mistake. Either place. I'm either going to miss a moment with my son or daughter or my wife, or I'm going to literally make a mistake in what I'm writing or coming up with. And they're going to be disjointed. So the key there is to how can we better be present in the current moment? And that's kind of the way to reframe it.
Yeah, I think that's also why I made a few mistakes in the tweets, because I was like trying to do it, you know, but at the same time, I was at a restaurant with my family and it was like not working. Whereas if I had like just told them, okay, I'm going to need these 3 hours when we get home to stay there and just then do that, it would have been probably better. But it's a learning experience and I was at Disneyland, so, you know.
You're at Disneyland working.
Yeah.
That's wild, dude. But it's a great example. Like you're at a place of leisure and enjoyment and refreshment, and you're choosing, nah, I'm going to work and I'm not to be present in the moment. And that's so interesting.
Yeah.
I'm curious to kind of hear your thoughts. I know to kind of transition from that, you mentioned last week about anger, correct? Would that be something you would like to revisit, or what else would you like to focus on today? I'll say it that way.
I would like to focus, maybe we could jump a bit on a few things I was trying out with my clients.
Okay.
And at the same time, the podcast I sent you, because I think there was a few questions or thoughts it brought in my head, but also I wanted to see what it brought to you.
For sure.
You could talk about that. But before that, let me talk about the anger, because I think I noticed something. So today I would say was one of my most productive days, even though I didn't wake up at night or that early.
Yeah.
And I slept late, but I chose to wake up to get 7 hours of sleep. I know you should get 8, but I was like, if I don't readjust my schedule and I sleep 8, I will sleep at 3 again. So I was like, okay, let's do that. I woke up, I took a cold, washed my face with cold water, didn't take a cold shower yet. Then I did some, read the Quran, and then I did some rope jumping, which is something I don't like on an empty stomach.
Yeah.
Never thought I would do it. Then I took a cold shower. Then I ate. And after that, I started, I had an accountability call. Then I started work. And I have to say, I did not feel angry today because I think I did everything I wanted to do. And I finished it at 5, most of the things, instead of finishing it 5:30, maybe, instead of finishing at like 8, like I usually do. And I think there's something to be said about starting your day right. And it's not always easy to do that when you're in Disneyland or whatever. But I think if there's one thing I realized with my anger is that I gotta start more my days that way and not be ashamed of it. And I even had friends, like my friends, you know, they're going to uni. I'm not going to meet them again. And I had to tell them, okay, guys, if we're going to go out, we have like 10 days left before I go to Egypt. Let's meet from 6 and we have to be home before 12 so that I can sleep well and finish my work during that time frame. And that also made me less angry because I was able to tell my friends my boundaries without being ashamed. So I think these are two things that might be the reason for which I don't have anger. The third thing is I accepted the fact that I'm going to uni either way. So I was like, you know what? You're going. Okay. You didn't make money yet. It's fine. You can still make it in 4 years. It's going to be okay. You're going to figure it out. And these three things combined, I think, really calmed the anger down. So.
And it's funny you mentioned even like how anger applies to your thoughts.
Think of when my aha moment was kind of like, I've been trying to prove myself the whole point, even when I'm not trying to prove myself. For example, when I'm with my friends, when my group of friends is like, oh, he's big or whatever, I'm like, no, he can't be bigger than me. You know, that's kind of like me trying to prove that I'm stronger. But even, and that I found very interesting because it's hard to change that part. Being kind or being quiet in the group to leave room for others to speak, not because I think that's what's correct to do, but because I want them to see me as someone who's doing things correctly or someone who is kind. And I was like, the behavior is right, but the mindset behind it is wrong. And that's why in the podcast, when he was talking about that boy mentality, I was like, maybe I'm actually a bit attached to the worldly things, if you want to call it from a religious perspective, or just the things that like your physique, it's important, but the reason behind it shouldn't be I'm doing this, or I think I'm proving someone wrong, or I'm doing this to be the strongest, or I'm doing this for whatever reason. And I feel like that's something I have, because when I was younger, I started to work out because someone bullied me. I didn't work out necessarily for the health aspect. I worked to protect myself. When I started my self-improvement journey, it was to protect myself because I wanted to be powerful, to gain my freedom back, and to not be forced to say things I don't believe in, because I see that people get canceled nowadays. So it feels to me that like I'm trying to prove something, but I still feel a bit abstract about it, because I'm like, I got something from it, but I'm not sure I got the whole piece of the pie, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, that's good. It's that idea of a lot of times we haven't came to grips with the child inside of us, our inner child, and we need to use our inner child as a tool to understand why we act the way we act, what triggers us, what drives us. And two, it's funny. So yesterday I made that graphic and I sent you the motivational forces. So motivational forces would be the things behind what you're doing. Like you mentioned working out. You're working out, your motivational force was a negative motivation. You didn't want to be bullied. Like you were removing the undesired outcome of wanting to be bullied. And other than the opposite of the positive motivation would be like you're working out to be a strong, capable person. And it's like we don't usually see the positive because the negative is what drives us more. And it's interesting, but I wanna not speak and teach into that. I wanna lean more into. So you said that you were trying to prove something. So what do you think that you were trying to prove?
I would have to ask myself this question: when you try to prove something, who are you trying to prove it to? When you're with your friends and when you're with your family, because there's a different motivator.
Yeah.
And I think when I'm with my friends, I'm trying to prove I'm the strongest in the group, because why? I have this fear of like, what if I'm not the strongest and one of my friends turns on me, I can't protect myself from them. So there's also this kind of part of like trust issues that were developed when I was younger, because I used to have friends who backstabbed me. And this again goes back to the part, oh, I want to be strong to avoid the possibility of being backstabbed, or at least not getting bringing myself justice if I get backstabbed. And when it comes to family, I want to prove to them that they were wrong for not believing in me. I want to prove to them that actually it's even simpler than that. I want to prove to them, because when I changed and got into self-development, suddenly everything my family did felt wrong. From like health to mindset to everything. And I'm like, I want to prove to them that everything they were taught from a young age about the fixed, poverty mindset is wrong. I want to prove to them that they're wrong so that they can change. And if I were to even go deeper to that, why do you want them to change? Because I want them to be more like me or have more similarities with me, because right now it feels like they're so different from me that I'm kind of alone in my own home.
That's tough.
Yeah.
What I hear when you say that, I hear that there's a wounded child in there that possibly, whether it's from the bullying of friends or so-called friends, that wants to not experience that pain again, partially to maybe even with your family, it's a psycho thing when you were younger. It's almost like you felt the need to almost, I'm trying to think of a way that I can word this.
I can tell you what used to bother me when I was younger with my father is that he would always kind of like, his words were powerful for me. Like for a long time, I viewed my father as not a person, a friend, or I viewed him as an authority figure, just someone you talk with, like you have to please, you have to make proud.
Almost.
Someone you have to make proud all the time. And nowadays when I'm angry, I always, towards him, I'm like, he says he's proud of me. Don't listen to him. Don't, like, there's this part of me that's scared of wanting to make him proud again. So it kind of just pushes him away a bit. And when it comes with my mother, well, my mother, well, if I were to think of it, what would it be? It would be something similar. I don't want to be their trophy. They flex, kind of. I don't want to seek to be their trophy, in other words. I don't want to play their game. Like Alex Ramosi said, he used to play his. I don't want to find myself having to play their games.
Yeah.
And that applies. And if I were to think of my grandma and my grandpa, that also applies to them. I love them. And for a long time, I was like them. I was similar. I was what they wanted me to be. But I've changed. I've grown past that. And I'm scared of getting attached to their words, their positive reinforcements, and wanting to please them. And so killing myself, sacrificing myself like I did in the past, because I don't want to disappoint.
That's fair. What is it about their games that they want you to play? What is it about them that makes you feel this way?
Because I feel like their games are just going to make me an average person who works or lives the life they want him to live, but doesn't live the life he wants to live. When I was younger, I came here and I was like, I am blessed and I can't just end up by being average. Not because I think I'm better than the rest of the world, but because I have this expectation on myself that I want to be the best example. And to be the best example, I have to not be like them. I have to be better. And when I was younger, and that's why also sometimes when someone in my family says, you're just like your father in this aspect, I'm like, don't say that. I'm not like him. And there's this part of me that just wants no association with them because I fear that I might become mediocre by being associated with them in certain aspects or taking certain traits, although I take their strengths. But I just don't want people to associate me with them because I don't want, when my mother, for example, says, my father does a behavior, she doesn't like it. She's like, you're just like your dad in this behavior. I'm like, don't say that. I'm not like him. Because I don't want to take their weaknesses. I just want to be better.
I think a good way to reframe that is the yes and instead of the yes but. Because a lot of times, and I mean, you've heard me say it. I know you've seen the content that I put out, that you've helped put out around that. It's that idea of you love your family, but this is the traits I don't want to be associated with. Instead of saying, I love my family, and despite those traits, we can coexist peacefully. And I know from experience that it's very hard to speak to someone, whether it's family, loved ones, friends, that don't view growth and being great and being successful on a level that you do. And they don't see it because they just don't understand it. And I think an important thing for us to do there is, instead of trying to change people, because honestly, regardless, like, you could sit there until you're blue in the face, Yesen, and you could be like, listen, Dad, listen, Mom, this is the only way. And regardless if you're right or they're right, they're not going to change because their mind's made up. And it's definitely not going to come from force, but it's going to come from understanding. And if you can approach the relationship as you're listening to understand instead of listening to react, listening to change, that will help you a lot. Because for so long, I was right where you're at. Like, I see the writing on the wall with so many people, not even just my parents, but even like friends. And I'm just like, what are you doing, stupid? Like, that's what I'm thinking in my head. I'm like, how could you not see this? It's so clear. This, like, what you're doing is so fixed. It's so limited. There is so much more greater inside of you. Like, why are you not tapping into that? And another metaphor is when we had our first son. When we had our son, we have a son and a daughter. When we had our first child and he was really young, I was at a space where I was home alone taking care of him. My wife was out at her job. And I remember like being so frustrated because he wouldn't take a nap, being so frustrated that he wouldn't drink his bottle. And then I had this TikTok and I was on TikTok, of course, just doom scrolling. And thankfully, by divine interference, interruption even, I saw this TikTok and it was this old guy with his beard. And I'm like, what's he going to say? And he said, there's two things you can't do, you can't make people do, and that's eat and sleep. And when I heard that, I was like, it's so simple, but it's so profound. And like, to take it a step further even, you can't make people do something that they don't want to do, nor do they even need to do for them, or so they think.
Yeah.
That's why the biggest, most important thing we can do in the relationships we have in life is to stop trying to listen, to respond, to, and that's the funniest thing I've learned as a coach. It's not my goal to tell people what to think. You know, it's not my goal to tell you, this is the path you should take. Now, obviously, I'm going to suggest this is a path that would work, but it's a suggestion. And ultimately, it's holding the space for them to come to a realization themselves. So I encourage you in future conversations with loved ones and those that you're having trouble connecting with. And I think, too, this will help you with the anger, which we'll get a little bit more in the anger in a second. But I feel like if you step into your next conversation and you set the intention and you set the goal for yourself, this conversation is not for me to change their mind. It's for me to understand. Yeah. And if you're seeking understanding, then you're going to see a much better outcome for not only you, but also for them. Because then like, you come with this energy, you come in this emotional, this physical, this spiritual state. It's not on the offense, or, and it's not on the defense. It's not like with a fight. It's more open and receptive. And also, to go back to this idea of anger, I love that it was said recently. I heard it said that, so anger is an emotion, and that emotion is just information, and it lets us know that something's wrong. And a lot of times we either run from the anger, we try to numb the anger, but what if we took a moment and we saw where it was coming from? Because we feel like anger, like just boom, you feel like you explode in a moment. But the truth is that anger is mounting up over time. But also, it's information. So if you can take a moment when you feel this anger and be like, where do I feel this in my body? Yeah. And it's weird because you think, okay, if I, like, why am I seeing where I feel it in my body? But for instance, say you feel anger in your body as like face getting red hot for some people. Yeah. And you may remember an instant as a child where you experienced something pretty traumatic, whether it was traumatic in the sense of actually traumatic or traumatic to you in that space. I believe that trauma is, there's not really a scale for it. I feel like our brain still receives it as something like that. But if you're able to kind of identify where it came from, then you're able to understand what's the reason behind it.
Yeah.
Because not all anger is bad anger. You know, anger is just an emotion. Now, when we choose to react off of it negatively, that's when it gets us in trouble, right? If you were to, you know, get angry and then you yell at your loved ones, or like you get angry and you punch a hole in the wall. Like I remember when I was like a teenager, I'd get so mad at my parents that I'd almost punch a hole in the wall. And looking back, it was so silly, but I didn't know where to put this huge emotion I was feeling.
Can I comment about that a bit?
Yeah, for sure.
It brought a bit of reminders to me.
Yeah.
So there's two angers, I think. There's the one towards myself, and that one has been a fuel so far, because when I work out, I literally allow the anger to take in. So, because I'm like, it pushes me to do better. And it does work. But that's the anger towards myself. Then there's the anger towards my parents, and the anger towards my parents is kind of like, because I hated school, right? It was just not for me, or at least some aspects of it. And when I discovered like the entrepreneurial path, I was like, I want this. But I was stuck because I didn't decide what to do with my life at the first age. I was young. The decision was taken for me. And I think my anger came towards the fact that, like, my parents, I wanted them to understand without telling them. But even when I told them how I felt, they just didn't get it. And my anger came towards them because I had been through a lot of like mental health pain because of school. Mm-hmm. And when I came to tell them that, they just didn't get it. Because for them, you had to be a man and just take it. Even this is just being soft, at least for my father. And so he was like, you're going to have to do this and that. And my fear going to uni is I have to study 24/7 like I used to do in school, which I hated, instead of doing what I want. And that causes me to be angry because I'm like, I am unable to defend myself again.
That's fair. I want to ask you a few questions to kind of help you go deeper in this. So what will happen if you do have empathy towards them?
If I had empathy towards them, I would stop trying to just get angry at them. And I would just stop trying every time when they're telling me, oh, why are you always doing this? Why are you always doing that? Instead of having a brutal reaction where I'm like, you don't understand, or just like, because that's what it takes to be successful, you know, in a rude and cold way, kind of telling them you're not successful. Double meaning, I would just listen or just understand who they are without trying to change. I would just be like, okay, this is who they are. As long as they don't affect me or annoy me, that's fine. They can think how they want, they can live how they want, and I'll still love them. But because I don't have the empathy, and I don't know why, or maybe you do from that story I'm telling you, you can see why. But it's like, I just can't not be angry at you. The fact is, when you tell me, or when I see how you live your life or whatever, I just get angry. I just get mad because I'm like, it's so stupid, or just, you don't know so many things and you think you do, and you're out here giving everyone advice and thinking this is the anger talking, by the way, thinking you're like better than everyone, or how this person should live their life like that, this person should do this, or you're so smarter than everyone else, when you yourself don't realize what you're doing. And that would be what the anger would say.
Wow. That's fair. And it's valid for you to feel that way. Because it's like you said, when you've experienced change, the first thing you want is everyone else to experience that same thing. But I'm reminded of the quote that you won't change until your willingness, like with how comfortable you are with your current state. You won't change until that comfort level is no longer comfortable. Because that's the thing, is like when it's kind of like the pain of change is greater than the pain of remaining the same. Like that's where people get, and they get stuck in this space of, if I'm going to change, it's going to hurt too much. Like a basic example, weight loss. Say someone is like obese, like to the point where it's hurting their health. They're more willing to accept that extra baggage, that extra weight. They're more willing to accept that hard, because the hard that it takes to get out of that, in their eyes, is too hard to do it. Now, if they shift their thinking and they're like, I'm going to die if I don't drop this weight and get healthy, then all of a sudden, like, wow, my eyes are open. That hard is no longer too hard. Now the hard of being the same is too hard. And a lot of people don't get that. But to further go into this, so like we're picturing this as if you're able to show that empathy for them. So you answered what will happen if you do show empathy towards them. Now, what won't happen if you do show empathy towards them?
What won't happen?
Yeah.
If I don't show empathy to them, we will have less fights. They won't change. But probably for that to happen, I would have more confidence in myself. Because I forgot to mention something, Coach, but I have noticed something on myself. Words are very powerful on me when they come from other people. Like one of the reasons I'm scared of doing the empathy part or listening to their views or to their perspective is, what if it forces me to change? What if it influences me and I end up becoming like them and letting go of everything I believe? What if it gets to me, contaminates me, in other words? And that's always been the fear I've had when it came to having difficult conversation, when it came to having friends challenge me in conversations, and when it came to listening to other people who are not where I want to be's beliefs and stories. Like on TikTok, I literally scroll when I hear someone who just goes against what I believe in, or shit, opens a different perspective than the one I have. Not always. If they're successful, I listen. If they're not successful, I don't listen. I don't care. If they're not Alex Ramosi or Gary Vee or Jordan Peterson, or even they can be lower, but they have to be successful for me to want to listen to them. And the other thing is, if they're not successful, if they are successful, but they're not healthy, I'm scrolling too. If there's always this kind of filtering, I'm not listening because I'm scared. Deep down, I don't trust myself enough. And that has been a problem because I don't trust myself enough to not let myself down. And I think that's the biggest reason for my anger and for all of this, because I just don't trust myself. I don't trust that the words won't affect me, that the friends I'm around won't affect me, or even just the fact that I have conversations that challenge my faith or just someone else's faith or whatever won't affect me. I don't trust myself enough to not break the promises I made for myself.
Why do you think you don't trust yourself enough?
Because when a friend of mine is like, he says something against, he's not faithful, okay? And he's like, oh, you're too faithful or whatever. I want to avoid them because I don't want to have that conversation again. Or even let's not go to faith. Let's go to something like, I don't know, working out and eating well. You're being too extremist with your diet. I don't want to hang out with them that much because I don't want them to tell me this, because I'm afraid that this will lead me to slow down. And I think the reason I don't trust myself is because I have let that in the past affect me, and I have not kept my promises to myself. And I thought the promises that I keep to myself was, oh, I become successful. But if I think about it, it's just the basic things is like, I'm not gonna sleep late because my family went to this place and they want us to have fun and do this. I'm not gonna wake up late because my family wants to do this or that. And because I have failed to keep these promises to myself, I don't have trust in myself.
That's fair. So if I'm hearing right, you don't have trust in yourself because you've seen yourself fail in the past.
Yeah.
Who's to say that failure will happen again?
Because I feel like when I want to do something and people tell me words like, well, maybe you're going a bit too hard, I slow down. My strength and intensity slows down. Hence why I put this anger inside, because this anger, this resentment reminds me, oh, they're not where you want to be. They are losers and whatever, so don't listen to them. And that is how I'm able to. It's like a protection in a way, a bad one, but a protection of like, I don't want to be affected, and this is my barrier to not be affected, the anger.
For example, you allow the words of others to literally reflect and dictate kind of where you go. Am I following to a degree?
Yeah.
Like you example, for an example, you were saying that someone is telling you you're trying to, like, you're going after something too hard. You need to relax. Now, is that voice a voice that's actually the right voice speaking into you? Or is it just like a random, like, would that just be like a random person? Like if someone, maybe an acquaintance or someone online was to say something like that.
It's family and friends mostly.
Okay.
And the reason I listen to it is because I'm like, what if they're right and I might regret it? I think.
All right.
Yeah, that's definitely it. I'm trying to avoid the regret, right? I'm like, what if they're right? And I will regret going too hard at some point and not spending this time with them. What if?
Yeah.
I think that's what causes me to listen to them.
To me, it sounds like a bit of two, analysis paralysis. Like you allow the words of others to stop you instead of saying, okay, what do I want? What is that goal? Because the thing is, Yasin, if if you were to go after something super hard
and
burn out, you burn out. And guess you know what happens when you burn out? You pick yourself back up. You learn how not to do it that way. And you kind of make a pivot. And then you learn your capacity again.
Yeah.
Like a great example is like I was doing too much for too long and I burnt out. And then here we are now. And I'm doing more,
yeah.
But I'm not burnt out, and it's more sustainable. Had I just listened way back there, like if I was to listen way back there when I was going towards the path of burnout, and someone who maybe meant well was trying to help me, trying to do whatever, if I would have listened to them and made that pivot, yeah, maybe I would have got out of burnout sooner. But the thing is, like, both paths will still lead to your destiny, eventually.
Yeah.
And, like, I feel like we put too much emphasis on, it goes back to that right and wrong. We put too much emphasis on, is this the right thing I need to do right at this exact moment to be most efficient, most optimized, most productive, you know, fill in the blank. And in that process of getting all these details right, we limit ourselves from even starting in the first place.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think one of the biggest paralysis I have is, what if that person passes away? That is the biggest one, I think. And I don't know where it comes. Actually, if I were to think of it, I might know where it comes from. And maybe, Coach Red, you can spot where it comes from when I say this. When I was younger, I left Egypt, right? And I was so close to my grandmother and grandpa. And each vacation, I would just leave. And it would feel like they got older. And I was like, oh no, they get older. Oh no, they get older. And then I'm like, what if they pass away? And I'm so busy. What if I'm so busy hustling? Also, once I saw a video on the internet of a guy who was like, I was going so hard that I didn't spend time with my brother and he passed away. Spend time with your family. And it's always this voice that is always like, what if I'm going so hard that they could pass away and then I could regret it? And that comes from this. I think it really comes from that. But I would contrast that with something else, which is now that I have gotten older, I spend less time with my grandma and grand because I'm doing other things, but also this might seem weird, but I feel like they have already passed on most of the things they can to me. And now it's just about spending, instead of having 5 hours with them, it would be 1 hour, 2 hours would be enough. But for some reason, my brain is, what if you're wrong? And that to me is what causes this listening to them in the end. If you get.
Yeah. Yeah. What I hear in that is that your awareness of mortality, obviously, is a thing. Like, people die, unfortunately. Like, people die from this world and they pass on to the afterlife of whatever you may think that is, with whatever beliefs people have. But the thing is, again, and it also goes back to what you mentioned at the beginning about being present. I think it's Brad Lee. I don't know if you've heard of some of his stuff. Some of his stuff is super, I don't know, it's a little bit much. But he goes on this one tangent a few times, saying how, because he's in the camp of like working really hard, going after getting things, and not spending hours and hours with your family and kids. They need quality time, not quantity time. It's kind of like that's the gist of the content I've seen him make. And I agree with that to a degree. But again, I think everyone's different. And it goes back to, you got to be present when you are with them, and you've got to listen to the intuition that you have, like your gut feeling, because I mean, our intuition is important and developing that is important because you know what you want to get out of this life. Like, you know what's the desires in your heart. You know what you feel like you've been called and created, your purpose is. Yeah. Now, others, like we've mentioned before, others that may be well-meaning, loving people, they have what they want for your life. And that's security and safety. I mentioned that in a recent TikTok.
Yeah.
Usually it's security and safety. And a lot of times choosing that path doesn't always have the appearance of security and safety. So therefore they challenge it. And it goes back to our bodies, our minds have one goal, survival.
Yeah.
So it has us have these fears, has us have these doubts because the unknown is seen as death to our mind. Uncertainty is seen as death to our mind because you don't know what could happen. But certainty, stability, like security, all of those big words, those big feelings and actions and circumstances make our mind have a sense of ease. So therefore, we're comfortable in that. And when we choose, and hopefully I'm not on a tangent, and hopefully you're getting what you're getting from that. But I would say is, again, I feel like we overcomplicate it. Because to me, that's what it sounds like. It's like your mind likes to overcomplicate the situation. It makes you think, okay, this person cares about me. They're telling me to do something that's against what I want to do. Are they right or wrong? And I think instead of getting into a space of are they right or wrong, get into a space of does their advice truly serve what I need in this moment? And it might not. And again, that goes back to that gut feeling because you're going to know. And the longer and the more, and I know that's probably not the answer you're looking for. You're looking for a yes or no, or like a left or right. But I don't think it's that simple, but it is. Because they like, when you know, you know. So the question that you've got to answer for yourself, Yasin, is that you've got to answer that question of, like, do I know this is? And I think that the importance there, and that's where the confidence comes, because you've just got to be courageous to step into this desire you have. And stepping into the desire, whether you fail or achieve it, it's going to give you a little bit more confidence. You know, because I mean, you've done things and those things have failed and you're still here, right?
Yeah.
And not only are you here, there was lessons to be learned from it. So ultimately, I think it's not about making the best or the right decision. It's about sometimes making a decision and running with it.
Yeah.
Is that helpful?
Yeah, it is.
What's been your biggest insight this whole conversation today?
My whole biggest insight is that all the overthinking I used to do, the root of the issue was that I didn't trust myself, which I kind of knew, but I didn't know how to like view it. And now I think I have a bit of an idea of what I can do to deal with this, or even just to stop worrying so much or overthinking. Maybe I'll be wrong. Maybe we'll have another conversation again and we'll unpack certain things. But I think for today, I've got clarity, at least.
Was that not a fire conversation? I know you're going to leave better than before you tuned into it. And if you enjoyed this conversation, be sure to hit the subscribe button on screen. And if you want to continue watching more inspiring and encouraging content, you can click here. If you really got something out of this, or if you have any feedback so that we can make this show even better, don't hesitate, drop a comment below. As always, thank you, and I look forward to seeing you again soon.